morning, everyone, and welcome to our service this morning. A very warm welcome to our visitors worshipping with us today, especially if this is your first time at Emmanuel. Do please make yourself known to us afterwards and join us for a cup of tea or coffee in the hall at the back of the church. Welcome also to anyone listening to this service later in the week through our recorded ministry. We hope it helps you to feel part of our fellowship here. Our service today will be led by our minister, Robert. Our Bible reader this morning will be David Bevan. And the prayers of intercession this morning will be led by David Leadbeater. All notices are in weekly news, except I'm asked to remind you that there is a church meeting on the 18th of February. That's in 2 weeks' time.
No. Yes.
Yes, fine, thank you. Good. I'll get that right then.
Yes, you're right.
I will now light the Christ candle representing Jesus, the light of the world, after which we will have a few moments of quiet as we prepare for worship.
Good morning, all of you. Welcome this day. Highworth, Emmanuel with Highworth, Bath Road, Christ Church and St. Mary's, the partnership of churches. We gather for worship every Sunday in our different places, but we feel and try and affirm that oneness that the partnership has been for a very, very long time now. May God be with them halfway through the service and with us just beginning our service. And I just want to say, very interestingly this morning, talking to people as they arrived, I would say 90% of the answers that everybody gave were variations on the theme of not too badly, could be worse. And of those 90%, 75% added, age doesn't come alone. So if you feel in that category, I just want to let you know you are in good company. That probably doesn't help you one tiny little bit, but it is true. That's how people are today, and you can probably identify with it. Psalm 147 says to us, The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. The Lord lifts up the downtrodden. Praise the Lord. And we will praise the Lord. From Rejoice and Sing, it's hymn 713, very short, so we will sing it twice. Jubilate, everybody, serve the Lord. Twice we will sing it. If you have looked at the weekly news, you will see that we are presenting today, for your consideration and support, a case from the list of Amnesty International. Well, that was very convenient. The lights just came on. This is a call on the Iranian authorities to immediately halt the sickening execution of Ahmadreza Dialali. He is a Swedish-Iranian doctor who is on death row. The link, if you use your computer for that thing, is in the weekly news and will be for a few weeks. If you prefer filling in a paper and sending it, there are copies here that I will leave on the Amnesty lectern, and then we'll light the candle. So just please remember, we are, as a church, involved in the work of Amnesty, supporting it, and people need us. You may say, what will one letter do? One letter could make the difference, adding to the one that would be missing if we didn't write it, which would say, well, as in most cases, in my experiences, I've had enough of these people complaining, I'm going to do something that they want so that they won't bother me anymore. One letter could lead some leader in the world to take that decision. So please, if you can, if you feel that it's the right thing to do, support. Dear God, we present this case to you. It's going round the world. We ask that this symbolic case, with all its importance for a person and the family and for a cause, may move our hearts to be part of the voice of those whose voices are not listened to or taken into account. We do this believing that it is part of your will for the times in which we live. Amen. Amen. And I will also light the peace candle. We gather for a time of prayer. our prayer of thanksgiving and confession. Let us pray. We've come together. We left the house this morning, quite naturally. We got here. There were people welcoming us once the door was open. There were people smiling, people chatting and sharing. Quite a normal way of a Sunday morning. The service began. The choir sang the introit. We remember the partnership of churches. And this is something we do Sunday after Sunday. And that is a sign of the freedom in which we live, to be able to live our faith. And we are grateful for that. We are grateful for all that strengthens our faith and our life. We are grateful for the people that make us smile. We are grateful for those who are willing to give of time and their talents to enhance worship. We are grateful for those who had the vision years back to create the partnership of churches. Today we probably take it a bit more for granted. It's less of a novelty, but it still is a sign in these times of what we should be doing together. Thank you for the opportunities by which we live life, for what is there to be discovered. Thank you, because if we have gone on walks, we've probably discovered the snowdrops emerging. That's always a sign. It reminds us we're in February. Or, if you look carefully, even in our back gardens, or in Queen's Park, or wherever we do our walks, there are green sprouts on some of the bushes and plants. And it doesn't get dark as early as it did a month ago. Yes, that happens every season. But isn't it wonderful? Thank you for beauty. The beauty of music, the beauty of song, the beauty of poetry, of good books to read. Thank you for hobbies, and thank you that even when life gets difficult, we know we can turn to you, to others, and we aren't alone. We live in God's world. Thanks be to God for all this. And we take it for granted sometimes until something strikes us and we remember. And forgive us. Forgive us for forgetting sometimes. Forgive us, O Lord, when we get so wrapped up in our own issues that what goes on around us is just background music, even when it's the background music of fear and destruction. Lord, we don't always do what you would like us to do. We don't always hear you. Or when we hear you, we don't always listen to what is being said. We don't always realize that you have given us gifts that grow when we share them. Help us to work through, walk through, guided by your Spirit, to all that separates us one from another, from you and even from ourselves. Lord, in your grace and mercy, forgive us, heal, restore us. Help us to discover that we aren't alone, that you are walking with us. And in that discovery, our eyes opened and our heart beats to the rhythm of those coming with us. So to you be the glory in what we can do and what we can say and what we can think on the journey of life in which we are embarked. And as your children, we can say those words that remind us of that togetherness. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The choir will now sing the anthem. It's a setting of the Magnificat in the version of Herbert Breuer. Thank you. hear the readings for this morning.
The Old Testament reading is page 678, reading from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 to 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows upon them, and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their hosts and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The Old Testament, page 34. Sorry, New Testament, page 34. Mark chapter 1, reading 29 to 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, David. Our next hymn, this one from Sing Praise, Hymn 316, "There's a wideness in God's mercy like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in his justice which is more than liberty." you see who wrote the music of this hymn? A chap called Maurice Bevan. Any connected family? No? Okay, just thought. You'd done the reading today. I just wondered if there was any special connection to this. Lord, we've heard two readings today. We need your Spirit to help us discover, discern what you are saying to us, to be able to do your will. Amen. David read two readings. What did you hear in them? Anybody wants to jump up and say a word or two? It's fine. I have no trouble with that. What did you really hear was being said in those two readings? Okay. I know we're not used to that, but it's a good exercise. Not only what we read, but what we hear when we read it can lead us in ways that are new. Let's begin with Isaiah then. Isaiah, written about 700 years before the birth of Jesus. Did you pick up, for example, on how many questions the reading has in it? Have you? Has it not? Who? To whom? Why do you? And those are just some of them. If you read it again, just pick up, it's full of questions. And the interesting thing about questions is that we answer. And good questions don't lead us in an answer, inspire us to discover. He's not telling us what to look for. An example. Child has done something that some people believe they shouldn't have done. A question like, "Did you do this?" implies an answer. We're telling them that we think they did do it. And it's different from saying, "What happened here?" Do you get the difference? I mean, the way, the tone of voice, the words we use can imply one way or another. And the passage from Isaiah ends with a wonderful affirmation. And I didn't realize that this morning you were all, or most of you, were going to start off your good mornings by saying, as I said a few moments ago, that you want as bright as you would like to be, that there were aches and pains and things like that. But listen to what Isaiah ends this reading by saying. Those who wait in the Lord will run, will walk, will fly. How's that for a vision? How's that for a way forward?
He says, though, shall renew their strength.
They shall renew their strength, exactly. Don't we need a bit of that? Now, is it physical strength? Or is it the belief? Is it belief and strength, physical? Is it emotional? Is he really meaning that we will fly? Not in the way probably that Liz has been doing her flying lately in a holiday or things like that. He's meaning taking off, soaring in a way that we never imagined, for example. Can you imagine yourself running or flying? No, I can see a few heads. Nobody's had the courage to say an outright no, but I can see some heads. And is actually running or flying the essence of what the reading is about? We'll come back to that. Mark, the shortest gospel, where so much of what we know and love is not there. Choir just sang the Magnificat. Don't look for it in Mark. Mark throws us in to an adult Jesus. and his ministry. And the reading we've just heard that David led us in is still in chapter 1. I mean, Matthew and Luke, by chapter 1, we still got a kid. Jesus being a little boy or a baby. The first chapter of the Gospel, and Jesus goes to the house of Simon with Andrew and two of the other disciples, apostles, and we come face to face with a one-to-one interaction, and there aren't that many. From the one-to-one interaction, he moves out onto a multitude of those who are sick, possessed. We are told that he is told, everybody's looking for you. And there he has a time of rest. Have you noticed, do you remember, the times that Jesus, after a grueling day, sets a time to be at peace? Or it's about to prepare him for a grueling day that comes. He can't be a good helper to others if he hasn't had that time of rest. And then he sort of runs away from all this and he says, let's go to the neighboring towns. There is still a lot to do. And this is still chapter 1. And then we hear they went throughout Galilee. What a wonderful duo of readings these are speaking to us this morning. And I'm going to ask again, think now, give yourself a few seconds, having pinpointed a few things. What did you hear? What did these readings say to you while David was reading them, or I've just pointed out a few things and you're remembering them? Not off by heart, just simply, this touched me.
I noticed something.
Yes? Let me see that. Heaven. Yes, she got up and served him. Look, I mean, how many times I read it for this morning and I didn't pick that up, but it's true. Yes, yes.
Nobody heard that.
Ah, sorry. Kerry said he healed the woman, and she got up and served them.
So that she could do the cooking.
So she could do the cooking for them. But yes. I mean, the big question that lots of people ask when Jesus goes and prepares, tells his disciples to go and prepare the Last Supper. Who cooked the Last Supper?
Well, it was a cold meal, wasn't it?
Somebody cooked it for it to be cold. But these questions are the story behind the story. Did she do it to thank him for what she'd done? What he'd done to her, I don't know. But that's something, again, Kerry picked it up. Had you seen it before? Had you noticed that that's in the reading? And it's not the first time you've heard the reading, I'm sure. It's a reading that you've probably heard dozens and dozens of times over your life.
I think the link that I've had, just to say, is they shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run, you know, that there's lot, you know, that you need all this strength in order to proclaim the message of God. And Jesus says, come on, there is much to do.
Yes.
So we need the strength to be able to do that. That's what the bit that just struck me.
Need the strength to be able to do what we are called to do. And if you connect that from Isaiah with what Jesus is doing, but to be able to have that strength, people have to be at their best. So that's why he does the curing. Because somebody who is marginalized because they're a leper, nobody wants to talk to them, nobody will listen to them. So there's all this process. Jesus has a vision. And in that vision, people have to be at their wholeness. Hold on to that. Because I hope we'll be coming back to it in a moment. Imagine for a moment, and you probably don't have to go too far, your own struggles, suffering one way or another. And I look round One way or another, you all have something in that. I mean, we've talked about it before service started, or on a visit, or something like that. We've shared those moments. For those people in the world that live in a country where hunger and violence, or as I saw on Friday when I was in London, the tents under the bridges, that's not a third world country miles away from anywhere. People in the margins of society, and the words of Isaiah coming out loud, what do they mean to these people? Are they words of hope? Were they words that they would take as mockery? For all those neglected, despised, or rejected, the prophet calls out. The Creator does not grow weary. He gives power to the faint and strength to the powerless. When all give up, when all feel tired, the first step is trusting in God. But the truth is, the God presented by some people is not a God that I would trust. I have a serious problem with some people that they present God as, if you're in that situation, you're a failure. If you're in that situation, your life is full of sin. The prosperity gospel, for example. If you're rich and powerful, God has blessed you. God help you then if you're not rich and not powerful and you don't own your own private jet. And I'm not exaggerating, I'm not joking. So that guy under the bridge is a failure. Is that guy under the bridge a failure? The wonderful words of encouragement have to become real. God does not reject and forget those who are on the margins, those who feel unvalued, not cared for. Imagine hearing those words by somebody who is sitting beside you, and you suddenly realize they are true words. Somebody visiting you in hospital or sitting beside you when you've gone through a family difficulty and saying to you, you're not alone. Words that you've said to others, but now they're saying to you the importance, the transformation that has. Where do people hear those words? Do they hear them from us? And what Jesus does in the reading in the gospel, it begins with that most intimate of moment. It's Jesus and Simon's mother-in-law. He goes into Simon and Andrew's house and he heals this woman. It's not often we see in the gospel such an intimate and private moment. Probably the other one would be Lazarus, when we're told that Jesus cries. But then this is transformed into the arrival, because they've heard what's happened, of all those in the neighborhood who are sick, who are on the margin, who need it. And outside the door of the house, there's that multitude of people because they want their lives to be changed. And it says, the sick and the possessed by the demons. And it says, the whole city gathered round the door and people were healed. And then Jesus goes for a rest. He goes to pray. He goes to be alone for a while. And in the translation that we've used just now, it says, and Simon hunted him down. I found that a very particular choice of words. It's not he looked for him, he hunted him down. It's sort of, there's a menace situation there. This is overwhelming for us. We need you. What are you doing taking time off here? So they go, and he decides that they will move on to other towns. Jesus has just had before him chapter 1 of the Gospel of Mark, the vision of oppression, of discrimination, of hatred, of isolation. And he says, this is what I have been called to do, to break all this, to bring hope, living hope, but to these people. Those are the people that very few cared for. And the church The religious structure, the political structure, didn't waste time on them. There was no gain in them. Can you imagine for a moment what our lives would be if we were those people? Have we ever felt the fact that nobody cares? And suddenly, out of nowhere, just beside us, in front of us, there is somebody who breaks that cycle and says, I care. Things can be different, and we are touched and transformed. What we find out in this reading is Jesus has a burning desire based on a just and loving society of which he is part, and he will transform that onto the disciples, and from the disciples he will lead through the Holy Spirit to the wider church in the world. Can you hear what's going on? Is it talking to you? You see, we have a Jesus who has in front of the front door a multitude of people. And he doesn't say to any of them, oh, you're the wrong gender. Oh, you're the wrong race. Oh, no, you're an immigrant. No, my miracles are only for the locals. He does not. And where in the world this has become an issue, I don't get it from faith perspective. I don't get it. He sees the needs and brings out the needs. He reaches out and touches those who seek healing. Jesus is telling them and us that it's all about love and care for everybody. Even for himself, he needs a time for himself. And this is the lesson we have before us today. God wants us to be part of this journey. And God knows that we may have to break through a pattern where we don't always trust or believe that he will do it. So the first thing is trusting in God. Even with questions, we can trust God and say, but I'm not good at this, can you help me? I find that sometimes I don't fully trust you. Do you understand me? And the text says that on that beginning, we will fly, we will run, we will excel. The reality is that we live in a world where so many are excluded, rejected, cast aside in the name of religion, in the name of politics, in the name of I'm terrified, I don't know. They become excuses, they're not reasons. This is a painful situation for all those in need and those who want to help. It reminds us that all need to be cared for, even the carers. So much of what we see in the world today is wrong in the light of the kingdom. And here in front of us, we have an invitation to be part of a kingdom that transforms for love, for wholeness, and for peace. We may probably not be able to touch people so their ills disappear. But sometimes all you need is somebody to just hold your hand or sit with you to say nothing or to say one word. And we're all capable of that. We are all capable of that. And tell God, I don't think this is enough. And God will probably answer and say, you do that, even believing it's not enough. Let me do and fill in the gaps. And that will make a difference. We hear what Jesus says and what he does. We are called to follow Jesus' way, either walking, running, or flying, as Isaiah has put before us. So whenever we see these words written, listen to what they're saying, because they're inviting us to enter the text. Walk, fly, or run with God. and make a difference. That's what makes our calling in this world today so wonderfully amazing. Amen. Sing Praise, hymn 270. Dear Christ, uplifted from the earth, your arms stretched out above, through every culture, every birth, to draw an answering love. Now lead us in the prayers of intercession for this morning.
Let us bring together to our Lord our prayers this morning of intercession. O God, our Father in heaven, we come to you today not because we should, but because we can and want to. We praise you, Lord, and glimpse your love. Glimpsing your love, bring our prayers before you. We see and listen to the news around your world. It saddens our hearts. We hear of wars and atrocities happening, and are particularly appalled by what is happening in the land where our Saviour, your Son, Jesus, was born and lived. He knew what it was to be displaced, despised, ridiculed, and finally put to death. But he rose again to show us what faith can be like and can do. We hear, Lord, of places like Sudan and Ukraine and all the other places facing devastation. We hear of displaced people struggling to survive, and indeed those who do not survive. We pray for them and ask that you shine your light of peace down, and that all aggressors hear your commandment: you shall not kill. Lord, We are thankful for those organisations who go out to support and help those in need. This morning we especially think of Amnesty International, who brings to us the attention and our attention the unspeakable crimes, victims not being heard, miscarriages of justice, the knowledge that the rich and powerful are evading your laws and commandments. Charge our hearts, O Lord, that we may learn to speak truth to the powerful. Insist on justice, and hear your commandment. You shall not bear false witness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for your churches internationally, nationally, and locally. May they continue to spread the gospel of love and understanding in all they do. We pray especially for our churches in the partnership, who are this year raising funds via the partnership project to help the street pastors in Swindon as they continue your work in providing help, assistance, and a listening ear to those in need. And also for those working with the youth of Christ as they help and guide young people in your ways. We ask your blessing on this Old Town Partnership initiative and all other deeds carried out in your name, remembering your Son's words, love your neighbour as yourself. Father, we come to you in prayer, glimpsing your love, believing in your presence to us. Alongside the worries of your world, we bring our concerns, and concerns for them known to us, in the silence of our hearts, as we lift them up to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Change our hearts, O God, that we might learn to trust in you alone and hear again your commandments. Have no other gods. Amen.
Thank you very much, David. And before we sing our last hymn, let us share what we have been able to set apart for the time of the offering. We have and all we are belongs to you. And from what you have given us, we separate this which is in the plate or what we give in different ways. That which we have left in the box, it'll go to the food collective. Lord, may it be multiplied all to serve the needs of this world through the love you have for us and for all. And bless those who have to decide the administration of the money so that your will may be done. Amen. Amen. We share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. From Rejoice and Sing, hymn 355, our final hymn, Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild restless sea. Day by day his voice is sounding, saying, Christian, follow me.
Go in that peace and rejoice in new hope.
Amen.